Our first reading for today is from the 7th chapter of Deuteronomy. The Lord your God will clear away these nations before you, little by little. You may not make an end of them at once, lest the wild beasts grow too numerous for you. But the Lord your God will give them over to you and throw them into great confusion until they are destroyed. And he will give their kings into your hand, and you shall make their name perish from under heaven. No one shall be able to stand against you until you have destroyed them. The carved images of their gods you shall burn with fire. You shall not covet the silver or the gold that is on them, or take it for yourselves, lest you be ensnared by it, for it is an abomination to the Lord your God. And you shall not bring an abominable thing into your house and become devoted to destruction like it. You shall utterly detest and abhor it, for it is devoted to destruction. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. Our second reading is from the 19th chapter of Revelation. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. O Lord, have mercy on us. Our third reading is from the 12th chapter of John. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, An angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, This voice has come for your sake, not mine. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. Deliver me, O Lord my God, for you are the God of my salvation. Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me. In you, O Lord, do I put my trust. Leave me not, O Lord my God. Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me. Deliver me, O Lord my God, for you are the God of my salvation. Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me. Grace, mercy, and peace to all of you, from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. During the Exodus, God's people were freed from Egypt. It took time, but God made a promise, and God would fulfill that promise. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. It was a period of Lent for them, a period of repentance, because they had failed to believe God's promises. But even though they failed to believe God's promises, that wasn't going to stop God from keeping his promise to them. The people would enter the promised land of Israel. God would fulfill his promise. It would just take 40 years. Today we heard a story from Deuteronomy. God's people were on the border of the promised land. After 400 years as slaves in Egypt, they were finally here and they could see it for themselves. But there was one more hurdle to cross. When they looked out into the promised land, they saw a lot of enemies standing in their way. When they saw all these enemies, the people were afraid. So God said this to them about what they were staring at. If you say in your heart, "These nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them?" you shall not be afraid of them, but you shall remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt, the great trials that your eyes saw, the signs, the wonders, the mighty hand and the outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out. So will the Lord your God do to all the peoples of whom you are afraid. You shall not be in dread of them, for the Lord your God is in your midst, a great and awesome God. The Lord your God will clear away these nations before you little by little. No one shall be able to stand against you. God's promise would stand true. His people would walk into that promised land, and their great enemies would be destroyed once and for all. And everyone and anyone who tried to get in the way of entering this promised land, those people would be destroyed. God will do this for them. It was just going to take some time. And they're not alone. As God's people now in this world, we have enemies. Not enemies from an army or enemies from some country that is preventing us from getting into our promised land of everlasting life. But we still have enemies. They are the unholy trinity, the devil, the world, and our own sinful natures. And these three are far more powerful than any earthly army. These three are far more cunning than the wisest of generals. These three, the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, are stronger than any strong man you will ever face. And you should respect them because of that. It might sound strange that I'm telling you to respect the power of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. But it's true. We should. Because they are strong enemies. They've been fighting against you and all of God's people ever since Adam and Eve were first created. They have experience, intelligence, patience. And they will do anything and everything they can to prevent you from entering your promised land of everlasting life in Christ. They will do anything. They will lie to you. They will try to lure you away. They will try and have your heart become apathetic, so you just don't care about eternal life. They would love nothing more than for you to turn away right at the border of your promised land, heaven, and to just keep wandering in the wilderness of this world until the day you die, lost and confused. Yes, the devil, the world, and our sinful natures should be respected. They are patient, they are cunning, they are strong. But you know what? We have someone stronger and more powerful than all three of them put together. There is one way to beat the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. There's one way to eliminate them once and for all. And just like the Israelites who had to wait so patiently over hundreds of years for their salvation, it also took a long time for Jesus to finally come, to be born in the flesh. And there was a lot of waiting for Jesus to do what Jesus came to do, to beat the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. Today, Jesus spoke to all of us and reminded us that when the time was right, Jesus came to open the gates for all of us to enter the promised land of everlasting life. This is what Jesus said today. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. And now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show but what kind of death he was going to die. Through Jesus' death on the cross, Jesus has pulled all of us over the finish line of everlasting life. I know that right now in this life, we may feel like we are wandering in our wilderness for what may feel like 40 years or even 400 years. I know there are times when we feel like the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh have a hold on us that won't let go. But that's not true. It's just not true. During this season of Lent, we are going through 40 days of repentance, of remembering that we are pilgrims in this world as we wander, but we have not been left behind. We have not been ignored. Our Lord Jesus Christ has paved the way for us. His death on the cross has declared that the devil's power over you has already begun to be loosened from you. Jesus has given us his Holy Spirit so we can have a life in what God wants for us and not what our flesh wants for us. And when it comes to our sinful nature, never forget you are baptized. And now you are being forgiven every single day. And you are receiving the Lord's Supper and other gifts from Christ to strengthen you all the time. Jesus Christ really has opened the gates of the promised land to all of you. And he has done this through his sacrifice on the cross, which has opened everlasting life to all of us. You are already getting a glimpse for yourselves of what heaven itself looks like, because even right now you are being given Jesus Christ's death on the cross, which is your victory over the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. And right now you are victorious over those great enemies because your Lord is greater than them all. Amen. And now may the peace of our God, which surpasses our understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.